This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Welcome to Campus Voices, where each week we look at some key issues that affect UK students, the UK campus, and the Lexington community. Campus Voices is created by Journalism 304 students with the help of the journalism faculty. Please send any questions to news@wrfl.fm.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Campus Voices. I'm your host, Maggie Davis, and today we will be discussing virtual and augmented reality and how those two things can relate to entertainment, education, and business. Virtual reality is a three-dimensional computer-generated environment where people can explore and interact. The most common form of VR is a headset that someone can put on, which enables them to become immersed in the world that they're in. Augmented reality is nearly the opposite. Rather than taking a familiar object, such as yourself, into a virtual space, augmented reality places that unfamiliar object into a familiar space. A common example of augmented reality is the hit mobile game Pokemon Go. It places an unfamiliar object, like the magical monsters of the Pokemon universe, into the real world through a phone camera. Augmented reality isn't just for gaming, though. The New York Times also uses some augmented reality visuals to accompany news stories. One of the most common references to virtual reality regards its entertainment value. Computer gaming systems like the Oculus Rift and the HTC Vive are just two examples of how technology has extended into the entertainment world. WRFL's Chase Campbell explains this industry's rise to prominence and its secured spot in Lexington.
In the heart of a city known for its basketball and horses, the technology industry is rising to prominence in Lexington. Founder and CEO of Ralph VR, Richard Hoagland makes a living programming and designing games for virtual reality. He said the transition was natural for him.
I know sometimes like the idea of making games is fun, and then the reality of it can put people off, but for whatever reason, you know, I tend to enjoy writing code and making art assets and all that.
Hoagland participated in several game jams, a short-term competition between game designers to make the most entertaining game possible. In 2016, Hoagland participated in a game jam designing Daydream Blue, a virtual reality experience that brings daydreams to life. That wasn't the original plan for the game, however.
And actually, for the first month of it, we were kind of going down a different path with the game. And so halfway through a two-month project, I pulled the brakes on the whole thing and changed directions.
Hoagland said the initial idea was set in the furniture store IKEA. Even though he switched the plan in the middle of designing the game, he won the competition. He won $100,000 from the victory, which he used to found Ralph VR. He's been supporting himself on game design ever since.
For a while now, I've been able to pay bills doing it. That's the plan. You know, keep it on going. That and make VR games and then make weird. So I do some AR stuff and different art installations, things like that.
The designer now works out of an upstairs office downtown and is working on more projects. He hopes that he'll continue to be on the front end of tech innovation in his design. For WRFL, I'm Chase Campbell.
Here with us in the studio today is UK professor David Stevenson. Stevenson teaches virtual reality storytelling, a class focusing on exploring this new technology in order to tell stories in a journalistic setting. In the class, students can explore this technology by using Oculus Rift and creating their own 360-degree video. Also with us today is Michael Baer. Baer is the president of Fusion Corp and Gamify. Gamify is the studio behind the augmented reality iOS apps for the Lexington Legends, the Muhammad Ali Center, and the City of Lexington. Mr. Baer, we'll start with you. Just in a broad sense and in the way that you understand it, how did virtual reality become as prominent in today's society like it has recently?
Sure. Thank you, Maggie. I appreciate it. Virtual reality and augmented reality are kind of two completely separate worlds, and they're both incredibly awesome and fun and create experiences, that are really unique to the user. Whereas virtual reality, you have equipment and gear and a headset, and you're actually involved and completely immersed in that particular world, which is unlike anything else. Augmented reality, like you said, does the exact opposite. So our Gamify company and what we've been able to do with several different installations at this point is create and really augment and throw people into an immersive experience, but wherever they want. So I'm not necessarily tied to a piece of equipment or in a particular room or in a particular area. Now I'm free with my device to roam around and experience things that weren't, there in the beginning, but really an immersive experience is what we're going for. And I think that, the sky's the limit. I mean, this is brand new technology, and I think everybody's kind of jumping on board with even the possibilities and being creative about where we can go for that.
You talked a little bit about the experience that comes along with it. How much is entertainment a factor in that? How much does entertainment play that role in terms of getting people interested in augmented reality?
I mean, really, that's what it is about, right? So gaming, really kind of the first form of virtual reality, like having people actually, be immersed into a video game, right? I mean, they're not in their reality, so to speak, anymore. And so from there, has wings just like technology does. And we're all constantly learning, growing right now. The clip that you played earlier, with our Gamify company, we started off down one path about a year and a half ago and then completely hit the brakes and pivoted and went another direction just because, you have to learn in this world, but producing that entertainment value is what gains the momentum of the overall experience. So the cooler you are and the better you do at it and, just the diversity in what kind of experience you're even creating keeps people coming back. And so we try to stay away a little bit from the novelty aspect of it, and we really want to create an experience that are really going to drive people to continue to use the product.
How are you able to balance that entertainment factor and, like you said, how cool it is with the more basic just utility functions of the apps?
So, I mean, every single app has the basic utility function. So really what we've created is the platform that has all of the image recognition and latitude, longitude, and GPS, and all the core pieces of what a framework would need to be is what we've created. And so what that allows us to do is when we're meeting with different customers is to really jump into the creative and brainstorming part about it. So, I don't want you to worry about all the technical aspects of it. Like, I want you to think about how cool this experience is going to be, and let's brainstorm and really be creative to how we target to your audience.
Mr. Stevenson, you're well-versed in virtual reality. What do you think has made that become so popular in the more recent years?
Well, I think it's the advances in technology. Even 5 years ago, we couldn't have imagined having VR or AR in our pockets that go around with us every day. I mean, there have been attempts at dabbling with it with Google Glass and eyepieces and things like that, but now we're all walking around with the potential to experience VR and AR at any time that we want to. So it's opened up this huge window of opportunity for developers to create different experiences for different people in different places and in different ways.
You talk about that potential. How far do you see that potential of VR going in the next 5 years?
I'll tell you what, it is my opinion, and I have a feeling Michael would agree, that there is more potential with AR than VR. I don't know if you feel that way or not, Michael, but I just think that VR has its limitations. Right now, we're limited with gear, like Michael said.
Yeah, you can only move as fast as what some of the technology allows you to. Right?
It's very difficult to move around inside of a virtual reality space. We focus on VR because it's accessible, and it's very, very easy now to be able to shoot 360-degree videos, which is kind of a very light version of VR. It's not very interactive in terms of interactivity. You can't interact with the space other than move your head around inside of it. But I think that AR has a lot more potential, and that's where we'll probably see a lot more advances moving forward than VR.
Yeah, to piggyback off of that, I agree with you that I think AR will be moving faster and will be something that people will be really super familiar with a lot faster. But I think really long term, both of them have this incredibly awesome potential because when things catch up, they're almost like breakthrough moments in VR. And so I think that like both of them are kind of like these trains on different paths, but really kind of will explode in their own right.
Yeah, and those breakthrough moments are going to come faster and faster and more. For example, the Oculus and the HTC Vive, we've had to be tethered to a big computer and have this headset on, and we have maybe a little box, like a 10-foot box that we had to stay inside of. Well, now you can buy a standalone headset. It looks identical. You don't have to be tethered to a computer, and it allows you a little bit more freedom and portability. And so that's going to be a big jump. And then whatever's next, who knows what's next? Something's going to be next, and it's going to take us to another, you know, big advance in what we can do with this.
Great. Well, we've talked a lot already about the entertainment value of both of these new technologies, but the worlds of virtual and augmented realities aren't only for entertainment. Virtual spaces and objects are also being used for learning purposes, intended to improve the educational experience for students all around the world. Mr. Stevenson has brought his insight on VR in the entertainment industry and how college students have reacted to it, but WRFL reporter Erica Bonner has more details on how the technology is being used in the classroom.
Virtual reality may seem too futuristic and complicated to implement in our everyday lives, but the reality is it's becoming more common day by day, especially in education. Starting from early childhood education and going all the way up to high school, educators and VR developers are finding new ways to implement the technology in students' learning. Using VR in the classroom engages students in ways lecture and literacy can't reach. In a science class, students can immerse themselves into different angles of the night sky or observe a virtual hurricane through a firsthand perspective. In classrooms with young children, VR can help engagement and focus by allowing students to visually learn shapes, letters, and other basic lesson plans through interactive displays. Older students can benefit from VR in a history class, for example, by taking a look at a war or historical event to get a perspective on what it would have been like to live through it. Specific examples include the virtual reality app called Titans of Space, which provides an in-depth tour of the planets, stars, and galaxies in space by using music and visuals. Anatomy, another app that can be used on VR platforms, allows students to take a trip through the human body to learn about its various systems. With its virtual speech app, students can practice public speaking skills in realistic environments such as job interviews or just giving a speech. In 2016, a GfK survey commissioned by Samsung reported that 85% of teachers agreed that virtual reality would have a positive effect on their students, and 83% of teachers said that VR might help improve learning outcomes. For WRFL, I'm Erica Bonner.
Like we just heard, virtual reality is becoming a big part of classrooms, both for younger kids and college-age students. Mr. Stevenson, like we talked about, you teach a class using VR. In your experience, what has the response been to this new technology from college students?
Well, I think like most people, the technology and the first time that you experience it has a certain wow factor, and it's really cool, but that wears off pretty quickly, especially with these clunky headsets that don't have the best resolution in the world. So that goes away pretty quickly. So we try to focus on the content itself. It is a storytelling class. So we're limited in some of the technology that we can use and teach in terms of developing and production of VR, but we're not limited with our own brains and our own creativity and our own minds. So we do spend a lot of time breaking down what other people are doing and how they did it, how we could apply some of those ideas. And the students seem to really enjoy that experience of developing their own ideas and rethinking about how we tell stories, because we typically are telling them in print, we're telling them in a two-dimensional space, a very linear kind of a space. And rethinking a story in a virtual sense is incredibly upside down and inside out and everything. It is very difficult, and we've had a lot of fun debating those ideas and looking at a lot of failures too. We learn a lot by failing, but we do have some successes, and everybody's very excited. And there are times in class when there's, you know, we break out in applause because we found something so cool. So I think that it is exciting.
And of course, there are always going to be those failures, but in your experience so far, especially this semester in particular, how long does it take the average student to get comfortable with the technology?
It doesn't take long at all to get comfortable with the technology. You know, there's some speed bumps with learning how to operate a camera, but these cameras are getting better and cheaper and faster and easier. you know, after their first production, they're pretty good at it. And we can focus on, the goal is to get that first production out of the way. They have to make 3 videos throughout the course of the class. And once they get that first one finished, they kind of, the learning curve of the technology part is over, and we can focus more on the conceptual part. How do we choose, first of all, what's the best possible story idea for a virtual 360-degree video? Let's start there. Let's start with the content, because the wow factor is going to be lost very quickly. How do we make sure we get good audio? What's the best place to put the camera to ensure the kind of experience that we want the user to have? Do we have a beginning, middle, and end? Have we created any kind of emotion? You know, so we can concentrate on those for the second half of the semester a lot more once we get past the technology part.
So your class obviously incorporates VR in a journalistic setting, but where do you see VR fitting in with other majors?
Well, we do have some ISC students that come into the class, and I allow them to kind of veer off in that direction for promotion and marketing and advertising. So a lot of the analysis that they do for us, I'll let them focus on advertising, of which often it is actually storytelling. There's a ton of storytelling in advertising, so it does overlap nicely. I mean, sports, we have a large number of students in our class that are interested in sports and going into the sports field in one way or the other. And the sports market is huge in VR and AR, and so we're exploring that arena, so to speak, as well. So there's every avenue possible. It could be medical, education, teaching, and we talk about all of those things.
Great. Mr. Bear, you've worked on a lot of different projects with AR throughout your career so far. Have you seen a difference in the age and experience levels with the people working on these projects? And are there any sort of gaps in terms of understanding this technology based on age alone?
I mean, the short answer to that is no. I mean, any person at any age can get in and just learn everything they can online. And that's one of the things we recommend the most in our company. I mean, the minute you stop learning in technology is the minute that you die. The minute you actually think, like, this is it, this is the coolest thing that's ever going to be, and you focus only on that, then you're done, right? So, you know, what you were saying earlier about, you know, people don't realize the depths of what this technology encompasses. So, I'm not sure if you're familiar with what the local high schools are doing in conjunction with the Ford Next Gen project. The local high schools are transforming to Career Path Academy schools, and the IT career path at Bryan Station High School, where actually our programmers and our developers and our storytellers are working with Bryan Station High School IT kids to create an augmented reality experience within their school to then tell that story. But it's just not IT kids, right? You know, you need the art kids to do the storyboard, and you need the English kids to write the scripts. We actually have the Spanish classes doing a Spanish version, you know, and so it encompasses the entire, you know, depth of the school. And at the end of the day, you have this really cool project that everybody's worked on. But from an age limit, like, no, just jump in. I mean, if you're interested in it, just do it, learn it.
Well, like we just heard, virtual reality has a growing presence in college classrooms and in high school classrooms. But what are the potential benefits for elementary school students? Should school districts invest the money into this technology? Erica Bonner reports.
Associate Professor in UK's Department of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math Education, Dr. Rebecca Kroll, believes that depending on how it's used, virtual and augmented reality can provide learning experiences for children in a way textbook learning can't.
Our minds don't think in words. We think in pictures and other things like that. So what virtual reality can do for learning, to me, is provide experiences, integrate gestures and movements in with students' experience and touching and moving things around. I think that can really transform their learning experience.
While Dr. Kroll says VR and AR can transform a student's specific learning experience, she doesn't believe it will transform education as a whole. It's what we decide to do with the technology that will depict how successful it is in education.
It's not that that particular peripheral or that software program or virtual reality is just going to transform learning. It's what we're doing with it. And so often, it's because we're doing things differently, allowing students to experience content differently, that so often can make learning gains or learning changes in learning.
According to an article from Education Week, The price of the technology required for these virtual and augmented reality experiences can range anywhere between inexpensive hardware that attaches to a cell phone to upwards of $600. The dollar amount might be enough for school districts to be apprehensive about funding VR, but Dr. Kroll says the end result is worth the money.
There are, it's always true that you have schools, teachers, districts that are really trying to push the envelope on students' learning and students' experiences. And those schools, I think, will be very interested in looking into the possibilities of virtual reality. I think developing partnerships with companies that can offer some of that technology, so that whether it's through grants or some other partnerships, to make that more cost effective.
For WRFL, I'm Erica Bonner.
Well, like you just heard, and as we've discussed, both AR and VR have established themselves in classrooms ranging from elementary school students to high school students to college students. But the world of augmented reality has also found its way into business, sales, and marketing. WRFL's Chase Campbell has more on the current and future financial state of the industry.
A release by Market Research Engine states that the industry of virtual reality alone will be worth $33 billion by the year 2024. The report says the value will increase in the form of defense, aerospace, and medical uses, as well as its rising entertainment value. Market Research also released a report last April about the expected value of the combined industry. That report estimated that the virtual and augmented reality market is expected to exceed $117 billion in value by 2024. In 2015, Zion Market Research estimated that the industry was worth just under $3.5 billion. The main driving forces the reports list are an increased demand for VR and AR in medical fields and retail, as well as growing interest in tech companies. The growth of the industry, while it has a positive outlook, does come with some limitations. In the same projection reports, restraining factors included limits based on innovation, restricted size of storage and processing devices, and limited user-friendliness. Essentially, ideas are ahead of where the world is technologically. Several major market researchers have decided. Mixed reality is here to stay. What its place in society and in our daily life is yet to be seen.
Well, like we just heard, augmented reality is a relatively new creation. Mr. Bear, what sparked the inception of Gamify, and sort of how did that company come about?
Sure. So, you know, Fusion Corp has been in Lexington for a while. We're in our 14th year here, and we're more of a traditional agency. We have a small business. We do web design. We have an enterprise division, which does database development. And then, you know, obviously, as technology evolves, you get into native Android and iOS. And it was about a year and a half ago, you know, we really started trying to brainstorm on, you know, how do we capture some of this new technology? And rightfully so, that ideas are out before the technology are out, because you have to have the creative people to think of it, then you have to have the technicians to build it, and then we learn what we did wrong and we do it again, right? So, you know, it's one of those things, like when you see it coming, you start to think about the potential and the possibilities of what you can do and where you're going to fit in this place. And so having this other company, Fusion Corp, you know, allowed us to evolve this new company, Gamify, and really play around with the ideas and find some niche areas and what we thought was going to be something we could capture some market share right away in.
We touched a little bit earlier about the different projects you all have been working on. I know one of those was the Visit Lex app. Could you talk about the process of creating such a experience that goes along with an app like that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. Visit Lex is awesome. Gathan and Mary Quinn over there are fantastic to work with. And, you know, we really just kind of started with an idea, and it evolved into a scavenger hunt, wayfinding, you know, so you can walk around. It's a walking tour, so you walk around downtown Lexington. You collect these little 3D blue horses. You hear history of the different locations. We actually turn the Abraham Lincoln mural downtown to life, to where it talks to you. And it's just a really fun and engaging experience, something that not a lot of other cities are even scratching the surface on. We're speaking with cities all over the country and visitor centers, and it's something that really everyone is like, yes, we know we need to be a part of this, but how? And so we're kind of answering the how right now. But anyone can download the Visit Lex experience, is what it is in iOS right now. And so it's just a fun thing to walk around downtown, It's a little bit chilly out tonight, so I wouldn't suggest it, but but it's just a really cool experience that kind of came just out of creativity.
So that obviously is working in accordance with the Lexington, with the city of Lexington. We talked earlier about the Muhammad Ali Center in Louisville. What, how are you all approached about each of these projects? Does it come from a city official? Do you approach them? How does that work?
So like you said, it's new, right? Mm-hmm. So everyone is kind of saying, you know, how do I play in this world? Like, cool, I want to do it, but what do I do? And so the fact that we, you know, have been working so long to get the platform to where it is right now, when we start to approach people and say things like augmented reality and creating experiences within your city or within your museum or venue, you know, that's when people are like, yes, so how do we do that, right? So the fact that we actually have the platform allows us to jump into the creative aspect of, well, how cool do you want this to be? And then that's when people get excited about it.
Well, you talked about figuring out how to get those objects from museums or cities. How do you actually place virtual objects into the real world like that?
So there's a series or like a tiered approach to how the technology does that. It uses image recognition. So our application can train itself to learn an actual image and different views of the image and different shadows on the building. And just it actually itself, the application learns to view that image in different ways. So that's one tier of how it recognizes where to place something. It uses planes in Android and iOS and ARKit and ARCore on where to detect where to place an actual, whether it's a 3D element or a video or something like that. And then the third tier is, you know, you don't always have good GPS signal, which is true in a lot of downtown environments or if you go inside anywhere. So your latitude, longitude matched with your GPS isn't going to work. So then we refer to iBeacons, iBeacon technology. And so we tie in, you know, the ping from an iBeacon to where we're actually going to display the experience.
Are there any new projects on the horizon for Gamify or FusionCorp?
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of all over the place right now. We're just talking to cities all over the country. So I just actually got back from LA this morning where we're trying to talk to some of the West Coast cities out there about getting involved with our technology, which is just fun in general to say that, you know, Lexington, Kentucky has a platform that we're already trying to install in some of these major technology hub cities around the country. Now, if they all jump on board with us is one thing, but at least we're part of what is the movement of helping create this new technology.
Right. And Mr. Stevenson, feel free to jump in on this one as well. But where do you all see this growing as a business model from here? Is augmented reality and virtual reality here to stay? And how much potential is still left to be discovered? Mr. Bear, we'll start with you.
Yeah. There is no limit.
I would agree. I mean, yeah, I guess it is limitless. And I do believe it's here to stay. Yeah. And we're seeing that because of the amount of money that's being poured into it. When you have companies like Apple and Google and Samsung and the monsters like that who are just dumping millions and millions and tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars into this, it's not going anywhere.
And you said earlier, too, like, you know, there's stuff we don't know exists. And mm-hmm. 2 years from now, we're going to be doing this again, talking about something that we didn't even know existed right now. So
yeah, we've been teaching the VR storytelling class for 2 years now, and it's different now than it was the first semester, and I imagine it'll be different in 2 years than it is right now. So I've tried to build the class to where it has some exploration components to it so that we can kind of see what the new stuff is and see how it might affect and how we can apply storytelling to that and journalistic applications. But I don't think it's going anywhere. I don't think the concept is going anywhere. I think that the technology is advancing. It's getting cheaper. The resolution is getting better. The form factor is getting better and faster. It's just gonna keep advancing, and it's gonna be just like our phones.
Keep getting smaller and smaller.
Smaller and faster, cheaper. That's what's gonna keep it going. Okay, and the creative minds too, like Michael and his team, and hopefully some students coming out of our classes will be finding great new ways to apply this technology for either research or business or education or entertainment, all of the above.
Great. Well, a lot of potential obviously still left on the table for virtual reality as well as augmented reality. Thank you both so much to both Mr. Michael Bear and Mr. David Stevenson for joining us on today's broadcast. Join us next week at the same time when we'll discuss student mental health through Wildcat Wellness. I'm your host, Maggie Davis. Thank you for listening. Good night.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.